Let us begin with prayer. Loving God, fill us now with a reverent sense of your presence, that we may be at peace and worship you with all of our body, mind, and spirit. Amen. One of the most spectacular views in Cuba is from the hilltop at the Matanzas Evangelical Seminary of Theology. Matanzas is a port city on the northern coast of Cuba, and the Protestant seminary is situated on a hill overlooking the city and the ocean. It is a stunning view. In the morning, as the sun rises, you can hear roosters crowing from homes all down along the hillside, awakening each other and all of the creatures of the day. It's the sort of panoramic view that I imagine Jesus had in those opening verses in the story from the community who gave us Matthew's gospel that we heard Julie and Lori read for us this morning. As Jesus comes ashore after escaping by himself for a while, I imagine him walking up that hill and seeing all the people who followed him along the shore and up the narrow streets from as far as they could see. Following the rooster's call, they arose and went to him, and he seems positioned to see the crowd from that view, to see them as individuals and as a group. This story is one that follows a trajectory of time. There is a sense in Jesus' movements, not only of his geography changing, but of the day transitioning. Jesus comes from the boat ashore. The people who have been following him from afar are now close enough to be cured. But it is a deeply personal and time-consuming process. Imagine all those stories. So many that a whole day passes. It's easy to imagine, really. And one of the things that the group who traveled to Cuba last year talked about so frequently when we returned was the different measure of time we felt when we were there. The days had a certain ease about them. Conversations at our partner church and in people's homes set the pace of the trip. Our days were full, but not rushed. We did things in the time they took, and sometimes at the speed of Jesus, and sometimes with a disciple gently reminding us that it was evening and it was time to eat or sleep. That willingness that is to take the time that is needed for conversation, for meals, for worship, build a very strong sense of community for us. Early in the trip last year, we attended Sunday morning worship at our partner church in Towasco. The church whose photo you see in the front of your bulletin this morning opens to one of the main streets in Towasco. The windows are shuttered but not paned with glass. So when the doors and windows are open, they are open to the creation around them. We worshiped that morning with birds eagerly chirping their participation from the roof beams. And one parishioner brought her dog, who lounged happily near her chair in the middle aisle. The sounds of the street joined our sounds of singing and praying, making a joyful harmony of buses shifting gears, children shouting, and the rhythmic pattern of horses' hooves moving down the block. Like our ambulance sirens and taxi horns here on Fifth Avenue that join us for worship every week, the sounds of worship of the outside world were quite present. After that service, the group helped prepare a community meal. I will long remember sitting outside the church that afternoon and helping peel a multitude of the tiniest garlic cloves I have ever seen. So many hands worked to prepare what was needed for this giant pot of soup that we were making for the evening meal. The pot is about as big around as a circle you can make with your arms, and it was heated on an outdoor fire. And that meal was shared with the whole community. So as the day grew long and the shadows came, people of all ages came to eat, to talk, to play dominoes, and to dance. It was a fellowship that was surely very much like what those 5,000 men, women, and children shared with Jesus and his disciples when they broke those 5 loaves and those 2 fishes together on that grassy shore so many years ago. Like that late spring night in Cuba, there is something sacramental about what happened on that grassy shore with Jesus. When we teach about the meaning of sacrament with the families who are having their children baptized, we talk about sacrament as doing a holy thing. Sometimes sacrament gathers us at the table or at the baptismal font in ways we don't expect. We ritualize sacraments here in our liturgy, but sometimes holiness comes in different ways. On a grassy shore when we are hungry, or when, like the disciples, we try to solve a problem one way and we are made aware of options that at first do not seem possible. Like us, our friends at the church in Tawasco have faced problems like the disciples did on that hillside shore. The church celebrated its 90th anniversary earlier this year, and it has seen some significant and amazing changes over those decades. The cigar factory next door used to be thriving, but is not anymore. The revolution brought more changes than can be listed. The church had members who came through its doors every day in those years after the revolution to open the church, even for a few hours, to show they were needed in the community so the government would not close their doors. Time. Every day they were ready to break bread on the grassy shore. The Presbyterian Church itself has a long history in Cuba. And in fact, over 100 years ago, when the Presbyterian Church was first building relationships in Cuba, the churches there were part of the Synod of New Jersey. The religious landscape in Cuba is quite diverse, and it offers important and distinctive theological voices. After the revolution in 1959, the economic and information blockade prevented Cuba from experiencing many aspects of the theological shifts that were taking place. Most notably, Vatican II in the 1960s and the rise of liberation theology that emerged out of Latin America in the 60s and 70s. While these change agents were tied strongly to the Catholic Church, Cuban theology is much more reflective and has been dubbed an evangelical Protestant matrix. Issues that are fundamental to liberation theology, both in its birth tradition in Catholicism and its lived traditions in Protestantism and Catholicism. Things like opting for the poor and linking with the Exodus story, those fundamentals are quite complicated in Cuba. Some Protestant voices within Cuba suggest that rather than Exodus, Cubans are more connected to liberation theology through Genesis, the theology of creation, which is the theology of work. What liberation theology looks like in connection with the revolution and its socialist characteristics, that's socialist, not communist, is still unfolding. The Reverend Raul Suarez, who is the director of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Center in Havana, says that the revolution, with its human charge of social justice and opportunities for all, helped him to land his faith in a process that has not been exempt from tensions. Today, we take one more step with our brothers and sisters from Tawasco and around Cuba who are encountering these tensions and continuing to shape and reshape theology from their experiences. No one sermon could ever capture the theological complexities of Cuba's theological history or present. We can, however, continue to walk together in these conversations and seek out these sacramental moments. Somehow it's easy to imagine our friends from our partner church among those disciples talking with Jesus about how to feed all of those people and adjusting their initial plan to decide to feed them all right there, sitting on that grassy shore with just what they had among them. The miraculous part of this story of the five loaves and the two fishes gets a lot of ink in sermons, and I can understand that inclination, but I'm with Mary Oliver about that part of the story. Her poem, Logos, which some of you are familiar with, begins with a question and continues with a suggestion. Her words, "Why worry about the loaves and the fishes? If you say the right words, the wine expands. If you say them with love and the felt ferocity of that love and the felt necessity of that love, the fish explode into many." Imagine him speaking. And don't worry about what is reality or what is plain or what is mysterious. If you were there, it was all of those things. If you can imagine it, it is all of those things. Eat, drink, be happy, accept the miracle, and accept too each spoken word, spoken with love. What I love about this story of the five loaves and the two fishes is that it appears that Jesus really loses track of time. He's not worried about the loaves and the fishes. He's not worried about the time that he is taking to offer compassion. When we were in Cuba, we were also there on that grassy shore with the disciples. But you need not have been with us to understand the experience, any more than you need to go back in a time machine to the first century to watch the bread being broken, to understand what Jesus is doing in that moment. If you can imagine it, you were there. And if you were there, it was all of those things, real, plain, and mysterious. We all have those moments that we can connect to these stories. It's the lunch that lasts twice as long as you thought, so you can listen or share a little longer. It's the night you go out to walk and have a meal with a friend without the limiting words of, "but I have to get home early," hanging over your conversation. It's calling a loved one across the miles every week or every day and taking whatever time is needed to hear their stories. It's falling asleep with the bedroom door open to comfort your children. It's praying without words at the bedside when the end is near. It's remembering the details and stories when a loved one no longer can, but when they want help remembering again and again. And so we take the time and we remember and we remind over and over. Our work as disciples is not to worry about the loaves and the fishes. Our work as disciples is not to worry about what is reality, or what is plain, or what is mysterious, but to simply know that our work as disciples is all of those things. So today, just imagine. Imagine him speaking on that grassy shore. Imagine peeling garlic outside the church in Tawasco. Imagine the soup and how it smells and tastes. Imagine dancing. Imagine passing out the bread and the fish. Imagine that. And there we are.